My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Sports Station.
It's 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you listening. Lots of stuff going on today. We selected our teams for our summer games, which Mike and I will be up at Lake Lanier, Game Changers at Pickleball Social on Thursday, and then Margaritaville, and we'll have a variety of different competitions that will be played out through Team Bell, through Team Dukes. And just so you know, and we were talking about this, guys, I selected Joe Patrick, Abe Gordon, and Dylon Dylan Matthews as my guys to take us to the promised land, Mike.
Well, I beat, I guess what you describe as athleticism, with guile and grit. I've gone with our own version of Jock Peterson meets Josh Donaldson. I'm talking about Bo Johnson. Don't get any tougher than that. Cajun. A little crazy.
A little crazy.
You know, he's a loco, I say. Also, I went with, again, a guy who knows how to handle a big house and a big team, and that's Day-Day. And so Day-Day, going with our man, Day-Day Lewis, and then, as you know, you've got to have it, it's NFL rules, a plucky receiver who outworks the competition, a coach's son, a real gym rat. I went with Garrett Chapman, so that'll be part of our team, and I believe Caleb Johnson is one of the alternates. Should one of these guys get impaled by an axe in the axe-throwing competition?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll be telling you more details about tomorrow that all starts. Meanwhile, we started the show today with me being a little bit upset about the condition of the studio, Mike, because somebody, I'm not going to mention any names, left a lot of crumbs on the table here.
Sorry to cut you off. I'm not that sorry because I was.
No. Somebody left a lot of crumbs on the table, and apparently it was someone's birthday today.
Look, my daughter, baby Sophie, visited the steakhouse. She was nice enough to bring in everything bagel, and obviously I told Garrett to clean it up. I do apologize, Carl.
Well, he didn't clean it up. His place is filthy. It's disgusting.
Now, again, Carl does draw the short straw in this studio because whoever there's like junk left around, it's always at your workstation.
Yes.
I share a workstation with Randy, and it's clean. That's Andy's workstation, but the situation was pre-existing when Andy came to work today because Steak just left a bunch of junk, crumbs and seeds from an everything bagel over there.
Yeah, who leaves the seeds? By the way, and I said to Andy, because at first I was about to fuss with him. I said, this is not your stuff. He goes, no. It was here when I got here. So, Steak, come on, man. Clean up your mess.
Did your parents really call you Steak?
Come on, clean up your mess.
I reached out to Steak, and he goes, ouch, I'm so busted. It was a bagel and a schmear for my daughter that she delivered. I mean, this was a text message.
Exactly.
What kind of excuse is that? Yeah. Clean up the mess.
And I said exactly what I said you'd say. He goes, I did it for the kids.
course you did.
So anyway, as I said to Carl, at least there wasn't a schmear on the counter or on our your workstation, or at least, you know, some locks laying around.
Steak, I know it's your birthday, but you're taking me to Kaiser's, all right? That's all I know. All right.
By the way, real quick, since we're talking about Steaky, he's listening today, and that's fun. Happy birthday, Steaky, by the way. I believe it's 57. We were talking, I apologize, I dropped it on Oren last minute. He does have the audio. We're talking about Novak Djokovic at Wimbledon.
Yeah, the booze.
The opponent, his name was Rune. So the fans were going, Rune, and this nitwit thought they were booing him. That's what he says in the interview after he won.
And to all those people that have chosen to disrespect the player, in this case me, have a good night. Good night, good night. Very good night.
I love it.
I mean, he literally is like a bad guy in a James Bond movie. Every time I see Novak Djokovic, I always think of the guys that are trying to track down Owen Wilson in Behind Enemy Lines.
That's funny.
But anyway, there he was at Wimbledon. So, sorry, better late than ever. Thank you, Oren, for pulling the audio.
That was worth listening to because he's clowning right there.
Right.
Hey, let's talk about our big three, man. Coming up, by the way, we're done at 6, so that means our man Grant McCall is going to join us here at 20 after the hour to talk Braves. They get one last night. We'll talk more about the game. And then tonight, it is Chris Sale. Mike, a lot of people looking at our team and saying, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. That's our big three. The quarterback position hasn't been a part of this discussion because, well, they haven't had a quarterback to hang their hat on. But Robinson, London, and Pitts all came into the league at age 21. Bijan's 22 now.
Right.
London and Pitts are 23. What I'm telling you, Atlanta, is if our big three pans out to be what we think they can be, Mike, we could have the foundation for a team for a decade. For guys, especially on the offensive side, with a young offensive line where we've filled in the blanks now. And you start looking at this, this is what we are going to look forward to when the season rolls around.
Right. Now, this is a guy in Drake London. I think, you remember, I've mentioned this on Falcon Report a few times with you and Chris, is he just has a bit of an edge. Now, I'm not saying he's walking around like, blank you. No, I mean, he's got an intensity.
He does.
Because I think, you know, he realizes that, you know, his brand, Drake London's brand is nothing around the NFL, if we're honest. And we know who he is, but he's only scratched the surface with his ability. And even with the ability to go up on a stepladder, he couldn't even catch some of the balls that were thrown to him in the last 2 years. And now you got a guy, like, you turn around, boom, that ball's out. You're making the turn under, boom, that ball's already in the air. And that's the thing. Kirk Cousins is going to maximize his talent. I know you were at draft night. I had COVID those 2 years ago, so I wasn't there. I know the crowd was like, what?
When Drake got drafted,
and
yeah.
Certainly a lot of folks are kind of lukewarm on the Kyle Pitts. And we've discussed Pitts for years on this show. He's 100%. I think everybody who gets a hand on a football this year is going to be like literally living in the end zone. And hopefully the red zone, dead zone stuff we've been dealing with the last few years goes away with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and Bijan, we said this, 976 yards, 214 carries. It didn't feel like it. He had a really good rookie year. Now, Puka Nacua crushed it and ended up winning Rookie of the Year, you know, with the offense on the offensive side for the Rams and what he did. But Bijan, Mike, had almost 500 yards receiving. He's going to be better in this offense. I'm telling you right now. So for all the expectations I had over the last two seasons when I told you guys he's the best player in this draft, go get him, they did. And now I have even more confidence that he's going to be better. Our big three, who do you compare him to? What do you see with this group? I think, Mike, the missing link, let's just be honest, it's Pitts. I don't know. As much as you said about Drake and his brand, I still think I know more about Drake London. I still feel like I've seen enough of Bijan Robinson and the wow moments that he's had that I can go, yeah, I trust those guys.
Right.
Do you trust Pitts?
I want to. I know that we've said and we've heard that you know, it's almost like getting a free agent because he's now the total package. He's 100%. But my question about Pitts is how does Zach Robinson use him?
Yeah.
Are you going to try to use him like a traditional tight end where you're going to ask him to do some of the stuff that Arthur Smith was able? And this gets back to the injury. Why, you know, again, we're over the dumb gadget plays, but I mean, why was he blocking so much last year when he should have been out there catching? Or was it because he was hurt? And if he was hurt, did that mean he couldn't block properly? Because he's not that great at it. I can't tell if it's the injury or they just were misusing him. And how is Zach going to use him?
Well, the biggest play or the biggest mistake I thought made of the season was that Tennessee game where tight end one threw to tight end two and tight end one or tight end three and tight end one was blocking, which is Pitts. And I thought, Mike, in that moment, it kind of told us that he either wasn't right because there's no way in hell you're in that situation and you're not trying to get it to Pitts, or that the coach was simply overthinking things. I think as the season went on, we kind of felt like there was a little bit of both of that going on, where he wasn't completely right and the coach was overthinking things. Either way, that can't be the case now. We cannot be in the red zone and you're not throwing the tight end number one.
Right. I mean, if you're into Kyle Pitts' fourth year in the NFL and he doesn't have 10 touchdowns, I mean, then you drafted the wrong guy.
Drafted the wrong guy.
I mean, guys, I know because we have a lot of folks who just love, because he's a good dude. We've talked to the guy. I'm not being mean-spirited. I'm not hating. I'm facting on this one. You drafted this guy before Penei Sewell, who's already gone to a Pro Bowl. I know that he went to a Pro Bowl, although no, just one touchdown that first year, but he's gone backwards. The injuries are part of it. The injuries are always part of how you're evaluated, guys.
That's right.
It just is. So I'm with you, man. The red zone is not, I say red zone, dead zone. He's got to be a part of that solution.
404-726-0929. You can text us. You can also hit us up at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. We're going to talk Braves coming up and find out what Grant's thinking about not only beating Arizona last right. night, but the clutch hitting, which is something we have not had. And Eddie Rosario, Mike, fresh off the plane, gets in there and makes something happen.
I mean, two outs, nobody on. Base knock. And then, as we said, Murph hit that shot almost dead to the right of this dead center. And it was a moon ball. And it was, you know, kind of like a tough pitch to handle, too. So the Braves get to extras. By the way, we hadn't mentioned two-inning effort from Raisel Iglesias last night, too.
Yeah, he ends up picking up the dub, absolutely.
Yep. And by the way, what do you think of Elder? Elder better? It just seems like by the third time a lineup sees him, he still doesn't have a plan C.
Five scoreless innings, though, for Elder. Right. And last night I thought was one of his best outings. He only had one strikeout, which, again, you know, if you're into those kinds of things, it's great. I need to be consistent and be able to put the pitches where I need to, location. Mike, three runs, five scoreless, though. And once he got into that sixth inning, to your point, you were like, what's going on? Either way, they were able to find a win. And I think, again, I want to know what the deal is with Elder. I said this about Smith-Sharver. All the guys that you have question marks about, what's that look like in the second half of the season for this rotation, not only for this season, but as we move forward? Are those guys you're going to insert? And if that's the case, Mike, that means they're not going to spend money to go, add to this pitching staff. Even with Sale coming back, again, we don't know what the situation with Morton and Fried are going to be.
I mean, I wouldn't rule Morton out, but I mean, it just seems like it's just diminishing returns at this stage with Morton, if I'm honest. The big guy for me is, what if Ian Anderson comes in the second half? And I think we're going to see him sooner than later.
Stood.
And he gets, you know, back to where, you know, knock wood, what they thought they had, which is, guy. Here's another one of your guys going to be, four-year starters going to be around for a while. Ian Anderson could be a guy that saves some of your cheese, but I just can't see him paying Fried, man. They're not going to match. Somebody comes with a $200 million deal on Fried? I mean, we said it earlier, it's certainly cheaper to keep Ozuna. Grant brought that up yesterday. I was coming up with all these scenarios how you could add a position player, but the option for Ozuna is such an inexpensive pick at 16, and he's still raking.
It is, because if you went out and acquired what Ozuna is giving you from a production standpoint, how much is that player costing you?
Right.
It's costing you way more than what you would pay him to pick up the option. So I think the Braves will be smart about that. I think, you know, again, we assume Marcel wants to be here long term. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the All-Star game and, more importantly, in the Derby. Hey, coming up, Grant McCauley's going to join us. We'll talk about the Braves. It's Dukes and Bell, 6 o'clock. We got the pregame for you, which is U.S. Open Cup. Atlanta United taking on Indy 11. Pre-games at 6, kicks at 7. Mike Conte and Jason Longshore have the call for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
Just a few weeks ago, I was asking Grant McCauley about Sean Murphy. He said, don't panic. It's been a long season for him. Well, he hits the tying home run with two outs in the ninth. It was a big knock last night. And Grant, this is the Sean Murphy we're going to need moving forward, right?
Yeah, it is. And when you think about it, you know, long season for him, it's been long in ways that he has wished that it wasn't, like a long stay on the injured list that really derailed all of the work he did in spring training to get himself ready for the season. Then he gets hurt and is, what, third or fourth plate appearance of the year and has to sit out for 2 months. So it's taken a while for him to get going, and I think it's understandable in some ways. There's a lot of things he does behind the plate with the pitching staff that's also worth pointing out. But this is an all-star capable of hitting 20 homers and OPSing 800 or better. The Braves need those kind of guys to show up, and getting Sean Murphy going would do a lot for what has been an incredibly rough ride from 6 through 9 in the batting order. So the bottom four spots, I talked about this on From the Diamond, and through Sunday, coming into Sunday, that group, 6 through 9 in the order, batting .216 with only 28 home runs and 1,250 plate appearances or at-bats. That's pretty rough from the bottom of the order, to put it lightly. Mm-hmm. They need guys like Sean Murphy to get going.
Yeah, I mean, we were living in the 7-8-9. We had one of the best 7-8-9 combos the last couple of years in baseball. Grant, we saw that A.J. Smith-Shawver is back from his rehab assignment. That means that Elder goes back down. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I thought there were some good things to see from Elder. You know, he only gave up 4 hits. It just seems like by the third time the lineup sees him, it's like, where's the plan C? I mean, what's the long-term future for Bryce Elder?
Yeah, I still think Bryce, you know, has a role here. I mean, is it going to be eventually kind of lock it down, one of those spots, really the fifth spot in the rotation? I could still see that as perfectly possible. When he got in trouble last night, there were a couple of hits that were just absolutely the best batted ball luck Arizona could find. He dropped one just out of the reach of Arcia in front of Eddie Rosario to start that inning. Perdomo did. And then an opposite field single through what was the shifting that the Braves were doing on that side that was just well placed. And he really didn't get in a ton of hard hit trouble, I guess, in that final inning. So there was a lot I would take out of it that I liked. I thought the slider looked really good. And I still think that you need this kind of depth organizationally to be able to do the kind of things the Braves have with their rotation, which includes being able to get extra days for guys like Reynaldo Lopez and Chris Sale, who, as you might have noticed, got bumped back a day so that Bryce Elder could come in and shoulder that load for the Braves on a day they end up winning. So now I almost feel like you're kind of playing with house money here early, because you won the Bryce Elder start. Now you get to send Chris Sale out there and see if you can go ahead and get nothing worse than a split of the series in Arizona.
Do we discount Matt Olson's defense? I mean, that play in the sixth inning last night was huge, man. I don't know if we talk about his defense enough.
You know, I posted early this morning on X when I just saw that play and had to kind of relive it for a moment, and I just thought, who in the world makes a play like that? Now, it's one of the heads-up baseball plays that you'll see, but just knowing that, hey, if I dive and catch this ball, because we need the out, we want to get out of trouble, but somebody could tag and conceivably come home and add another run to Arizona's lead. The fact that he had the awareness and the ability to essentially throw from his stomach to home plate, and, you know, you could also probably look at Jock Peterson and say, maybe not the best base running there, but either way, the awareness by Matt Olson, we should be talking about that. I do think that there have been times where he has not looked like a Gold Glover, but I think there have been other times where maybe we don't really recognize how good this guy is, how consistent he can be, because every once in a while the error is the thing you point out. Well, now, here lately, that behind-the-legs play that he made right. in the final game at home as well, he's made a couple of nice ones this week, so it's been fun to see that.
Yeah, that's one that I don't remember seeing a guy do that at first base, man, go between the legs like that. It's our man Grant McCauley, guys. G-Mac is talking about the Bravos. Yeah, man, the Phillies are off, so 7.5 behind are we right now. It just seems like, I know we've discussed this a lot, but keeping your head above water and just waiting to see the kind of move that Alex will be able to pull off. What would you do to the bullpen at the trade deadline? What do you think has to do? What needs tweaking?
I don't know that there's a lot that they really have to do for that group, because I feel like everybody has performed. They've got a lot of depth. They've got righties and lefties this year. Remember last year, it was, can we please get another southpaw to go with AJ Minter, because it seemed like he was just getting used up an awful lot. Every time you needed to really rely on a lefty reliever, he was the only one that you had there. So I think that with the job Iglesias has done, how good Joe Jimenez has looked, Minter and Pierce Johnson have been very good. Jesse Chavez is doing his thing. Dylan Lee, who I know got optioned out but will be back, has been a big part of the resurgence in that Braves bullpen. And once again, the great story that is Grant Holmes coming in last night and giving the Braves some length in a game that they ended up winning, not letting it get out of hand. I thought that was an important appearance. I know he got in some trouble. I know some of the runs that he allowed were charged to Bryce Elder, but then he was able to give you some length, and you needed that out of the bullpen last night. So to make a long story short, I know you can look for another reliever. Everybody will be looking for relievers, but I feel like for the first time in a long time, knock on wood, the Braves really don't have to make a move there if they don't want to.
It is Grant McCauley, guys, talking about our Braves. They're back in action tonight. Sale got pushed back, as he mentioned. He'll be on the hill facing Arizona, which is a very good club. Eddie Rosario, man, we mentioned this. I mean, you know, I didn't expect him up as quickly. I really didn't. I thought they might leave him down there, let him get some work in, feel better about it. But they trust him, don't they? Because he gets off the plane and immediately has a base knock.
Yeah, a base knock that started the rally in the ninth inning before the Murphy homer that got the Braves back into that game. So, welcome back, Eddie Rosario, and being right in the middle of something good for the Braves, which he's done in Arizona before, and we obviously know the kind of things that he did on a bigger stage. But I think that with where the Braves were at this point, and this is something obviously, injury has changed Atlanta's plan in the outfield drastically with no more Ronald Acuna Jr., Michael Harris, who I did talk to this past week, said that sprinting is the next thing for him. He's expecting to do that soon, but he's still not coming back until the second half of the season. And then you try to figure out, outside of Jared Kelnick, what does the rest of the outfield look like? Duvall starting to show signs of life, but they brought over Brian Anderson and Ramon Laureano. They both have been injured or unhealthy and unable to play. And then you end up with just the minor league journeymen like Forrest Wall and Eli White, who, they could be there as like that sixth outfielder, pinch runner, defensive replacement, but every day at bats, that's something you had to do something about. And I feel like Eddie Rosario was a nice fit for that. I know he struggled this year, hasn't looked like the same player he was even a year ago, but familiar surroundings, good clubhouse, and he's proud of being a Brave. That's the first thing he said when he talked to reporters yesterday. And I think people love hearing that and love seeing that. And obviously, Eddie was able to help the Braves out in his first day back in a Braves uniform.
It is Grant McCauley talking about the Bravos on the late night tonight out there on West Coast time, although in Arizona.
A lot of those.
Grant, I know San Diego, we got three more with Diamondbacks and three in San Diego. I know I've joked around with you about it, but in all seriousness, we just talked about the 7, 8, 9 spots and trying to find some spark and not trying to break the bank because, we got to figure out how you address the outfield and not have it like a log jam for next season. What about Nacho Alvarez bringing him up?
See,
you did it, not me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to have a serious conversation.
I'm sorry.
It's hard not to do that, though.
Who are you talking about?
Nacho!
Nacho!
Are you Nacho ready? But right. When do they bring Nacho up? Because Arcia has been meh at the plate.
I'm kind of interested to see, what exactly they're looking for out of him. Because one thing that when you look at some of the advanced stuff, And this was kind of the case with Vaughn Grissom as well, not to get completely off on a tangent, but
go for it.
The consistent hard hit contact is the thing I think they need to see from Alvarez. But he works very good plate appearances. He doesn't strike out much. He has the same thing that I feel like Vaughn Grissom had to a large extent, a very good hit tool in that he can put the ball in play and he'll work at bats. He'll work plate appearances. He'll get his walks. But I just don't know that from an impact scenario and at 21 and with very little experience in the upper minors, if they're ready to kind of throw them to the wolves or take them out of the frying pan and throw them in the fire here, right. If they feel like they can either get a little bit of a resurgence from Orlando Arcia or, you know, the trade deadline, we talked a lot about outfielders and pitchers and different areas the Braves could look to strengthen themselves, but maybe they do look for a shortstop. I don't know. It just seems to me to be something worth looking for offensively speaking, but I know I've said this before, and I, at the risk of being repetitive, if the rest of the lineup could start hitting, we'd stop worrying about Orlando Arcia so much. You get Sean Murphy going. You get Michael Harris back. Yeah. If Adam Duvall is finally able to kind of, you know, right the ship, so to speak, you're just not thinking about Orlando that much because you've got eight other guys in the lineup that you expect a lot more out of.
By the way, the staff, what are they going to do during the break? Have you had those conversations? Is Snit just taking some time and giving the guys, everybody that's not participating, obviously, in the All-Star, you know, week or weekend? What's going to happen with the staff?
Yeah, I think it's go ahead and, you know, try to get away from the game for a little while, and, you know, everybody will be back at it sooner than you realize. It's almost like you go home, you get that 3-4 days of no activity, then you got to come back and, you know, begin the second half. And I think that, if anything, kind of that mental and physical recharge and reset time is pretty valuable. And I know that those guys are looking forward to getting that and not having a coach and not having to manage the All-Star game. You know, on the one hand, you'd like to have that problem because it means you're maybe in the World Series or winning the World Series. But on the other hand, it is nice to have that time away from the game.
Hey, one last nugget for you. You see the Phillies being aggressive at the deadline? Or, I mean, they've been able to weather the storm with injuries. What do you think their master plan is?
Yeah, I can't imagine that they don't go out there. And Dave Dombrowski is not a guy that just kind of sits around and, you know, doesn't look to find ways to add to a club.
Like so a closer?
They could. Their bullpen has been a lot better this year, though, than in years past. That's one of the things that they have managed to really address, especially the last couple of years. But they just got Bryce Harper back from the IL and Kyle Schwarber back from the IL today. So from an overall strength perspective, maybe they're going to be feeling pretty good here moving forward. But I expect them to, whether it's find somebody even for their very good rotation or in the bullpen, or maybe, and Alex Anthopoulos talked about this last year, even when the Braves had a great offense, what if we could add another slugger? You can't really rule anything out for a club that knows that it is very much in its window to win a World Series and has to be hungry to get back there after 2022.
All right, Grant, great stuff as always. We'll see what happens tonight. That was a good win last night, though, man. And we got a little roll going here. Hopefully we can continue to score runs and continue to put dubs on the board. We will talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, man. Tonight is Chris Sale. Hopefully he can build on his Cy Young season.
And he's right there, man. 11 wins. Tied for the lead. Top six in strikeouts, too.
And by the way, if he goes to the break with 12 wins, you know, again, getting 20 wins, there's so much that goes into it, but you'd have to look at him in the second half of the season and say he's got a shot to do that. All right, we're coming back. We got more stuff to get to as we get ready for Atlanta United tonight. Pre-game's at 6. We'll talk to Abe and Garrett as well as they get ready to bring that to you. 7 o'clock kick as Atlanta United is participating in U.S. Open Cup. It's Dukes and Bell. I just like the break in this. When he comes in, he goes, it's Dukes and Bell. Right there. We're going to talk to Garrett and Abe. They will be on separate teams. One is on Team Bell. The other is on Team Dukes. But they are hosting the pregame show for Atlanta United tonight, U.S. Open Cup. And again, I just want to get back to this, Mike, since we're leading up to Atlanta United. If you missed the interview with Garth Lagerwey today, I thought it was really interesting stuff because he talked about the strategy and the philosophy of what Mike, the direction in which I think they're headed in.
Right, and we were talking about this before we interviewed Garth. You know, if you go back and look at Garth Lagerwey's time, he took two different teams, Salt Lake, and he took Seattle, and he took, they got three championships between the two teams, two in Seattle. And just from a purely from a fan standpoint, we all love Miguel Almiron, and I got my Newcastle jersey like you do, right? But it is tough, and I think when you're trying to grow, you always start with that phrase, the casual fan.
Yeah.
It's hard when you get fans involved and all of a sudden knowing the guy's got, like, it's Logan's run. He's going to be gone in 2 years. Like, you got a 2-year or 3-year window and this cat's gone. And I get it. You know, you want to develop hopefully homegrown talent like Caleb Wiley, who's going to be, it looks like, on his way to Europe too. But still, fans want to have a group of guys that are going to be here for 6 or 7 years and you win some championships right. with. And you know they're going to be there. If you go look at Seattle, you and I were looking at the 2019 roster. They had a mixture of Latin American, American, Europeans, guys that were in their prime, guys that were not good enough to be in Europe. But it was a good core group, and they won 2 championships. And I don't think you can expect Garth Lagerwey to come in, you know, when he was announced a year and a half ago, say, well, you know, Darren Eales, good job, but this business model is crazy. You know, this doesn't really work. There's different ways of getting there. We almost won 2 championships. Hell, we nearly won one with Frank DeBoer.
That's right.
Right? But I just think he's trying to keep this thing viable and keep you entertained while he gets his vision installed. And that means drafting well, finding the right worker bees, and having some core continuity and consistency. And I think that's where he wants to go.
I totally agree. And by the way, you know, having all this money to spend, it's like when we are under the cap with the Falcons, right? And we got all this money to spend.
Right.
Got to spend it on the right players.
Do it the right way.
Yeah,
right.
You got to find the right guys. Hey, I want to bring in Abe Gordon, Garrett. They are going to host the pregame, but we wanted to bring them in to kind of set the scene out there for U.S. Open Cup. And I know they've got you covered coming up here at 6 o'clock, guys, so stay tuned for that. And then Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. Fellas, what's going on, man? How you guys doing?
It's hot. There's no denying that. It's hot. There's, you know, some air conditioning setups and situations going on here in the press box. But nothing like what the players are going to have to deal with. We caught that little bit of a rainstorm. I don't know if you guys had that in Midtown.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
There was certainly one coming. And so you ramp up the humidity. Yeah, you catch a couple degrees cooler. But it's going to be a brutal, brutal feel out there. So this one might come down to endurance and fitness. And you're talking about a team that had to travel, had to play at altitude.
Yeah.
We'll see how much that might affect them in this one here tonight, win or go home.
See, this is where I know I drafted the right guys for the 92-9, the game, summer games. I mean, Abe ran the Peachtree Road Race.
Yes, he did.
And here he is belly aching about the conditions up there.
Well,
this is the kind of stuff you're going to have to deal with.
Heavy, wait a minute.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown of Team Dukes. I've got winners with strong attitudes. I've got Garrett Chapman. Again, he's like Fix-It Felix. Everybody loves this kid.
Abe's Carl, don't worry. You got yourself a guy that got up off the bench and put himself in the game. Garrett couldn't get even out that morning to cheer. So
You're right. And I'm not concerned. I know what you're made of, and you're right. You did run the peach tree. I know what you're capable of. I'm excited about the team we've put together.
I think you got a malcontent on your hands.
Hey, I don't know about you guys. I'm ready to go tomorrow. I'm ready to go tonight, too,
yes.
If you ask me, man. I think this is going to be a lot of fun, man. I mean, like, look, Atlanta has a couple of players who we expect to, like, starters and some ones who might be able to play in this match today just because they weren't able to go for a full 90 on Saturday. So I'm feeling pretty good about this one. If we have the more talented team, talent wins when everyone has to play in the same conditions, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And again, I know that the good news is we got a few more, three more matches, Gard said. We got to win this thing. We've competed. Gard, as we said, our old boss, Darren Eales, says we're here to win trophies. And this is a trophy they want to win, right?
Well, there's huge benefits to winning this trophy. It's not, and I know some people look at some of the cups and competitions as something that really isn't anything that you earned or qualified for, stuff like that. There's massive benefits beyond just having a trophy in the case. Entrance into the Champions League and stuff like that. So there's a huge benefit. And maybe earlier stages, this is something where you say, you know what, if we get bounced out, we get bounced out. But now you've got this thing in your sights. You're playing a team that is, you know, call it what it is, they're a lower-level squad.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got a real opportunity to advance to the semifinals, put you within 2 games of hoisting a trophy. It's gotten real at this stage. And so, yeah, you're pushing for it. There's no denying that.
It just got real. I heard you. Hey, by the way, what do we know about Indy 11? I mean, do we know a whole lot about these guys?
Yeah, I mean, we know a good bit. I mean, they're one of the younger sides in American soccer. This is the farthest they've ever been in a U.S. Open Cup. This is the deepest a team from the state of Indiana has been 32 years. I mean, like, this is a very passionate fan base that doesn't change that fact. And I mean, they're a pretty good side. I mean, they score a lot of goals. They got a lot of talented players. I mean, when Abe says they're a lower division, that doesn't mean that they lack talent.
They got a number of guys who have a lot of MLS experience.
Yeah, this is a good team that we're playing today. So, like, don't come out here and just expect that we're just going to roll. But, I mean,
and they've already eliminated one MLS team.
They
took out the Chicago Fire a couple of rounds ago. So, they're not averse to going up against the big bad wolf and sending blowing their house down, if you will.
All right.
And guys, the one thing that's the most dangerous is a team that's playing with confidence. You got to strike early if you want to win this game.
Strike early.
And that is the philosophy of Team Bell tomorrow,
Would
guys.
You stop
we start
it
at,
Would
again.
Stop it.
Game changers. We're going to drop the hammer. All right, guys. We'll all be listening. It'll be starting at 6 o'clock. And if you're heading up to again to Kennesaw to the action at Diffraction. Tune in to 92.9 The Game, man.
All right, we'll tell you what's coming up on the show tomorrow. We will be on location. We'll tell you who's going to join us and more coming up. I just like the break in this. When he comes in, he goes, it's Dukes and Bell. Right there.
Mm.
We're going to talk to Garrett and Abe. They will be on separate teams. One is on Team Bell. The other is on Team Dukes. But they are hosting the pregame show for Atlanta United tonight, U.S. Open Cup. And again, I just want to get back to this, Mike, since we're leading up to Atlanta United. If you missed the interview with Garth Lagerwey today, I thought it was really interesting stuff because he talked about the strategy and the philosophy of what, Mike, the direction in which I think they're headed in.
Right, and we were talking about this before we interviewed Garth. You know, if you go back and look at Garth Lagerwey's time, he took two different teams, Salt Lake, and he took Seattle, and he took three championships between the two teams, two in Seattle. And just purely from a fan standpoint, we all love Miguel Almiron, and I got my Newcastle jersey like you do, right? But it is tough, and I think when you're trying to grow, you always talk about that phrase, the casual fan.
Yeah.
It's hard when you get fans involved and all of a sudden knowing the guy's got, like, it's Logan's run. He's going to be gone in 2 years. Like, you got a two-year or three-year window, and this cat's gone. And I get it. You know, you want to develop, hopefully, homegrown talent like Caleb Wiley, who's going to be, it looks like, on his way to Europe, too. But still, fans want to have a group of guys that are going to be here for 6 or 7 years and you win some championships
right.
with. And you know they're going to be there. If you go look at Seattle, you and I were looking at the 2019 roster. They had a mixture of Latin American, American, Europeans, guys that were in their prime, guys that were not good enough to be in Europe. But it was a good core group, and they won two championships. And I don't think you can expect Garth Lagerwey to come in, you know, when he was announced a year and a half ago, say, well, you know, Darren Eales, good job, but this business model is crazy. You know, it doesn't really work. There's different ways of getting there. We almost won two championships. Hell, we nearly won one with Frank DeBoer.
That's right.
Right? But I just think he's trying to keep this thing viable and keep you entertained while he gets his vision installed. And that means drafting well, finding the right worker bees, and having some core continuity and consistency. And I think that's where he wants to go.
I totally agree. And by the way, you know, having all this money to spend, it's like when we are under the cap with the Falcons, right? And we got all this money to spend.
Right.
Got to spend it on the right players.
Do it the right way. Right.
Yeah, you got to find the right guys. Hey, I want to bring in Abe Gordon, Garrett. They are going to host the pregame, but we wanted to bring them in to kind of set the scene out there for U.S. Open Cup. And I know they've got you covered coming up here at 6 o'clock, guys, so stay tuned for that. And then Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. Fellas, what's going on, man? How you guys doing?
It's hot. There's no denying that. It's hot. There's some air conditioning setups and situations going on here in the press box. But nothing like what the players are going to have to deal with. We caught that little bit of a rainstorm. I don't know if you guys had that in Midtown.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
There was certainly one coming. And so you ramp up the humidity. Yeah, you catch a couple degrees cooler, but it's going to be a brutal feel out there. So this one might come down to endurance and fitness. And you're talking about a team that had to travel, had to play at altitude.
Yeah.
We'll see how much that might affect them in this one here tonight, win or go home.
See, this is where I know I drafted the right guys for the 92.9 The Game, summer games. I mean, Abe ran the Peachtree Road Race.
Yes, he did.
And here he is belly aching about the conditions up there.
Well,
this is the kind of stuff you're going to have to deal with. Heavy,
wait a minute.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown of Team Dukes. I've got winners with strong attitudes. I've got Garrett Chapman. Again, he's like Fix-It Felix. Everybody loves this kid.
Don't worry. You got yourself a guy that got up off the bench and put himself in the game. Garrett couldn't get even out that morning to cheer. So
yeah,
I don't know
right.
what you're talking
you're right.
about.
And I'm not concerned. I know what you're made of, and you're right. You did run the peach tree. I know what you're capable of. I'm excited about the team we've put together.
I think you got a malcontent on your hands.
Hey, I don't know about you guys. I'm ready to go tomorrow. I'm ready to go tonight, too,
yes.
if you ask me, man. Like, this is going to be a lot of fun, man. I mean, like, look, Atlanta has a couple of players who we expect to, like, starters and to ones who might be able to play in this match today just because they weren't able to go for a full 90 on Saturday. So I'm feeling pretty good about this one. If we have the more talented team, talent wins when everyone has to play in the same conditions, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And again, I know that the good news is we got a few more, three more matches, Guard said. We got to win this thing. We've competed. Guard, as we said, our old boss, Darren Eels, says we're here to win trophies. And this is a trophy they want to win, right?
Well, there's huge benefits to winning this trophy. It's not, and I know some people look at some of the cups and competitions as something that really isn't anything that you earned or qualified for, stuff like that. There's massive benefits beyond just having a trophy in the case. Entrance into the Champions League and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So there's a huge benefit. And maybe earlier stages, this is something where you say, you know what, if we get bounced out, we get bounced out. But now you've got this thing in your sights. You're playing a team that is, call it what it is, they're a lower-level squad. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a real opportunity to advance to the semifinals, put you within two games of hoisting a trophy. It's gotten real at this stage. And so, yeah, you're pushing for it. There's no denying that.
It just got real. I heard you. Hey, by the way, what do we know about Indy 11? I mean, do we know a whole lot about these guys?
Yeah, I mean, we know a good bit. I mean, they're one of the younger sides in American soccer. This is the farthest they've ever been in a U.S. Open Cup. This is the deepest a team from the state of Indiana has been 32 years. I mean, like, this is a very passionate fan base that doesn't change that fact. And, I mean, they're a pretty good side. I mean, they score a lot of goals. They got a lot of talented players. I mean, when Abe says they're a lower division, that doesn't mean that they lack talent.
They got a number of guys who have a lot of MLS experience.
Yeah. This is a good team that we're playing today. So, like, don't come out here and just expect that we're just going to roll. But, I mean,
and they've already eliminated one MLS team.
They
took out the Chicago Fire a couple of rounds ago. So they're not averse to going up against the Big Bad Wolf and sending blowing their house down, if you will.
All right.
And guys, the one thing that's the most dangerous is a team that's playing with confidence. You got to strike early if you want to win this game.
Strike early.
And that is the philosophy of Team Bell tomorrow,
Would
guys.
You
we
stop
start
it
at, again.
Stop it.
Game changers. We're going to drop the hammer. All right, guys, we'll all be listening. It'll be starting at 6 o'clock. And if you're heading up to Kennesaw to the action at Diffraction. Tune in to 92.9 The Game, man.
All right, we'll tell you what's coming up on the show tomorrow. We will be on location. We'll tell you who's going to join us and more coming up.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots
of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the Free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.